The Church of God the Eternal presents Israel Offered Cleanliness, a message given by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, March 27th, 2021.
According to the very command of God, we are gathered together on this night to be much observed, the beginning of the 7 days of unleavened bread. We understand, and many of you who have been in God's church for a number of years, this is very much repetition, but God has commanded us to repeat, to renew, even though it may be things that we understand or feel that we understand. So we go through the motions. We show honor and respect for him, and even as we received an example by Mr. Raymond Cole so many years ago, instead of just getting together on this night and having a meal together with other brethren of like mind, we do this short sermonette just as a way to remind ourselves what this Feast of Unleavened Bread is about, and this night in particular. Now, in the Passover service last night, I introduced to you particular aspect of the character of the persona of Jesus Christ, in that he is clean and he is pure. And so I like to continue that in even to the description of the Exodus. And so if you'll turn with me to Ezekiel 16 verses 8 through 13, very quickly we'll read. Because here we find that God's favor toward ancient Israel to set her free from physical slavery in Egypt. That very action that took place can be understood as a promise to make his people clean from their filthiness. Even as Jesus Christ, who was the God of the Old Testament, who did that great work, he is clean and he is pure. And he's looking for a clean and a pure people. Ancient Israel, they were carnal. They did not have the power of the Holy Spirit. They did not have the capacity to be redeemed out of their sins until he came as a sacrificial lamb. And yet everything was set in motion and the symbols were placed to demonstrate exactly what he was doing and why. And this great physical exodus of a nation of slaves out of Egypt was the beginning of that typology. So here in Ezekiel 16, verse 8, this is how God describes what happened. We're going to read it in Exodus 12, as we always do. But notice after the fact how he describes and thinks about what actually took place. Ezekiel 16, verse 8, "Now when I passed by thee," God says, "and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." Verse 9, "Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away the blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom." So this is how God views that ancient nation, which signified the nation of spiritual Israel, the church, which he was going to develop, cultivate, and build. What was the history of God's initial work to offer these Israelites cleanliness, to bring them out of their filthiness, their perversion, and to make a special covenant with them? Now let's turn to Exodus 12. We'll begin in verse 21 and read very quickly all the way through verse 42. Story you know very, very well, but we want to repeat it. Exodus 12, 21, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Eternal will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. So here was this blood of the lamb they were to strike on their doorpost, which was a sign and a symbol to make them different from all of the other peoples in the land who were going to suffer for sin. Verse 24, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was going to begin as the first of many annual memorials. And that's what we're a part of even tonight. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Eternal will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Eternal's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Eternal had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Verse 29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Eternal smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle, meaning livestock. Verse 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Eternal as you have said. It was the thing that Moses was demanding in the name of God all along. Pharaoh, in his arrogance, with his hard-heartedness, rejected. He defied the God of Israel and set himself up as a competitor, and God brought him low. And on this night, with the death of the firstborn in the land, was the time when God got the victory physically over the arrogance of Pharaoh. Verse 32, and take your flocks and your herds as you have said and be gone and bless me also. One of the contentions, Pharaoh said, well, you can go, but you can't take any of your animals. So here again, he's finally bowing his knee before this God of Israel and allowing them to go out free. Verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. Yes, God had impressed upon their minds that they were dealing with a power that was greater than them by far, and they could not resist it. So finally, when they submitted to him, they were urgent for this slave nation to get out of their midst, lest something even more deadly occur. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. Yes, they went out not as a vagabond troop, but as a very wealthy people. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. When on this night, we call the night to be much observed, the night that followed the Passover, when they all stayed in their homes behind that blood that was painted on the doorpost so that they were set apart and spared from the death angel. Now, 24 hours later, they're going out by night in what we call the Exodus. Verse 37, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them in flocks and herds, and even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. So it seemed like time went on forever in their state of slavery. And yet, when the perfect time arrived according to God's will, they were thrust out, which is why this whole concept of unleavened bread becomes significant. It was hasty bread. It was bread that was baked in an unusual way because of the short timeline. And that became the symbol for the difference between the people of God and the people of the world. Unleavened, verses 11. Verse 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, counting all the way back from the time that God brought Abraham out of his homeland and made him a wanderer. 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass. Meaning, do you think God works on a very specific timeline? Do you think everything he is doing is precisely measured and being executed? I guarantee you that is the case. From our standpoint, seems like things go on and on and on forever, and nothing is going to change. But it is, and we're a part of a timeline as well. So even the selfsame day it came to pass that all the host of the Eternal went out of the land of Egypt. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And so here we are as a people respecting that very physical example for its meaning for the true Israel of God, those who have embraced this way of life, who are also now coming out of the sin of this world, Egypt and Babylon, and the sins of our own orientations, carnally. The same God is going to offer cleansing, purifying to all nations in a day to come. For right now, you're the ones uniquely who are offered to be clean, to be purified, even as Israel was brought out of their filthiness in Egypt. Final text tonight, 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6. First Timothy 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That is the plan. And it was the purpose from the foundation of the world to offer to the entire human family salvation to everyone who will embrace it, who will love it, and who will act upon it, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So you've received that testimony. You've received his declaration, his calling. You have come into the circle of those who have been offered to be clean, to be purified through his sacrifice. But ultimately, it's going to be offered to the entire world. You are a part of the first fruits of that work. So tonight, we are celebrating our own chance to be clean through his priceless calling. It is absolutely a night to be much observed, to be celebrated, to be appreciated. The beginning of this seven-day feast of unleavened bread, which pictures our trek out of sin.
The Church of God the Eternal has just presented Israel Offered Cleanliness, a message given by Mr. John Brisby for the Night to be Much Observed, March 27th, 2021.